Even if, like, I have an open question, David. Maybe some of your viewers know this. I know you're in touch with a lot of experts of varying kinds. A lot of our trees, our orchard trees, fruit and nut trees, they actually didn't get burned, but the heat from fires everywhere, sometimes 100-foot wall flames, they dried up all the leaves. The trees themselves didn't get charred. And I'm wondering if I should take some action and prune them at a certain time, maybe in the winter. Should I leave them alone? Does anybody know the answer to that? How, if they'll come back, or if there's something I can do to help them come back? What do you think?
Good afternoon, everyone. It's going to be a little bit different type of conversation today. There's fires happening everywhere. US, Canada, Maui, Europe, Middle East of all places, Algeria. And it just seems like I can't believe all these things are just naturally flaring up, and we in our most modern age don't have the ability to control these things. Makes me question a little bit here and there. So today I have with me Dan Schultz, the founder and director of Sustainable Eco Village. Dan, we've had a couple talks before. I'm sure you can remember a few of the interviews about permaculture, intentional communities, sustainability, self-sufficiency, etc. Now, his eco area was in the Smith River complex, but that area just burned through on August 16th and Siskiyou Mountains. And we wanted to talk about that for a minute because his entire facility was wiped in the fire, pretty much. So, this is a firsthand account of what happened, what the aftermath was, what the response was from government, and what are plans to try to come back from this and rebuild and, organize community to help in the rebuilding effort. So from A to Z, stem to stern, we're going to get a firsthand account. And then, like what happens during these events, how do people come together or not? And maybe how we could protect ourselves and get ready for some of these events. Because I can't believe this is the only year of fire. I really think this is a way. I don't really want to say this, but through history, fire has been used against adversaries, and I'm seeing it. Humanity now, Homo sapiens sapiens seems to be the adversary. Something nefarious, non-human, this way come. So I don't think it's the first or the last year of big blazes across our forest. And people live like myself. I'm way out here, right next to the forest as well. And so many, that's the whole thing. So many communities that are getting ready are way out. That's on purpose. But it seems to be a lot of the fires are in the same forest areas where a lot of known communities have already set up, prepped out, and then suddenly the fires come. So I'm done talking. Dan, appreciate you joining me. I know this kind of can get emotional when we're talking. So everybody out there, please nestle back in. Get a notepad because you're going to learn something here that could A, save your residents, your neighborhoods, your valleys, your families, your pets, your animals, and everything.
America has had it good for a long time, but I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future. No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third or more of its national income, and yet our government continues to spend more than the government takes in. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the tax collector's share, and yet our government continues to spend. We haven't balanced our budget. Our national debt is bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world. The U.S. gold reserves have more than 8,000 metric tons of gold. That's a value of $400 billion of gold in our treasury. And most of us don't own an ounce. A dollar in 1989 has the same purchasing power or buying power as $3 today, and it's getting worse. They have voices that say the Great Reset will be our acceptance of an undemocratic socialism. Another voice says the profit motive has become outmoded. It must be replaced by the incentives of the welfare state, a universal income. Or our traditional system of individual freedom is incapable of solving the complex problems of the 21st century. They use terms like the Great Reset, say things like the Constitution is outmoded and it's an antiquated document. They define liberalism as meeting the material needs of the masses through the full power of centralized government. The full power of centralized government, this was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. That's why we must steer our own future. For the last 10,000 years at least, gold has rarely suffered from economic and political crises, as it has always been a stable. Gold is perceived as a symbol of wealth, power, and majesty. Gold has had an exalted position throughout the ages as a highly coveted, even worshipped material. That's why most every major civilization has collected and saved gold. Gold has maintained its worth and usefulness as currency throughout time and will continue to do so. Gold has an important economic role as a means of exchange should currency collapse, insurance that will protect you and your families against financial turmoil of any kind. ITM Trading is a precious metals company that has been in business for over 27 plus years with a mission to educate and empower individuals to hedge against inflation, mitigate financial risk, and prepare for the Great Reset. Schedule your free gold and silver strategy call, 866-834-1422, 866-834-1422.
And now on with the video.
Well, let me say that we have a lot to be grateful for, and it could have been worse. So, you know, we're keeping our chins up and moving forward positively. You know, whether or not it was artificial, there was an unbelievable lightning storm that caused this fire. I've never seen anything like it. And whether that's artificial or not, or a result of the decline of our magnetosphere, you know, I just don't know. I can't prove those kind of things. I think I bragged too early a few months ago. I wasn't bragging, but I just commented that we were probably better prepared for grid down apocalyptic scenarios probably than 99.999% of the population in America. We were completely self-sufficient. We had sustainable permaculture practices. We had a flourishing ecotourism cabin rental business. You know, goats, chickens, rabbits, gardens, 100 plus fruit and nut trees, gravity-fed water systems. You know, we really put it all together. It really worked. And and you know, and my if you want to learn something from our scenario, I really thought I had a lot of preparations, protocols. We talked about them every year, but you know what? I always made the assumption that I would have even a few hours to prepare, and I didn't. I had no time. Well, I barely, I didn't even make it back to my property. I went out and suddenly this moved so fast, it overtook the property. I couldn't get back. We thought our dogs and our cats and everything was burned. And so we went back knowing all of our animals died. And we actually, the next day, were able to make it, actually went through flames and got our dogs, our border collies, and one of our cats. We didn't get our goats. And anyways, we lost seven structures, and I don't know, most of our fruit and nut trees, and gardens, and every dish and tool, and you know, you name it. We lost a bunch of stuff. So in some ways, we're starting from scratch. And in other ways, we have a basic infrastructure there that we're starting again. And, you know, as I look at the silver linings in this cloud, one of the wonderful things is that, I mean, we've made some great friends already. I was just telling Julia that there's a woman who has an extra chainsaw and a sawzall and rakes, and she's driving from South Dakota to bring it with a trailer to bring us some stuff we don't have anymore. And there's really been a groundswell of support. So anyways, yeah, if anybody would like to help us get, we're calling it our Eco Village Revival. If they want to support us, we have a GoFundMe account. We've on our website, sustainableecovillage.com. We have updates about the fire, including our mailing address and my phone number. If you have, even if you know, like I have an open question, David. Maybe some of your viewers know this. I know you're in touch with a lot of experts of varying kinds. A lot of our trees, our orchard trees, fruit and nut trees, they actually didn't get burned, but the heat from fires everywhere, sometimes 100-foot wall flames, they dried up all the leaves. The trees themselves didn't get charred. And I'm wondering if I should take some action and prune them at a certain time, maybe in the winter. Should I leave them alone? Does anybody know the answer to that? How, if they'll come back? Or if there's something I can do to help them come back? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I know when we have drought, it seems the first thing, the leaves drop off as a defense mechanism for the tree to survive. So please, if anybody does have that answer, I'd be interested also, and I'm sure everybody else would, if you can put it down in the comment box.
Yeah.
The comments below, because anybody out there that's an arborist or might, you know, work with different plantations or some sort of orchard as a professional business, what is the best practice for that? Because how do they heal? How do these trees heal?
Yeah, exactly. I will actually get a message from this video. You'll get them. But if somebody can go to my website, I have a number to text and an email address. If they really know the answer to that, I would love to have that knowledge.
Yeah. Just a point that you keyed in on when you first started, that these storms, electrical storms that are becoming so much more intense. You know, as I scroll through my social media or different kinds of social media, I see the same kind of strobe light lightning that you described that we had here before. We had record rain. We had 6.2 inches of rain in 3 hours. But the same thing was true. It was the most intense lightning. It was like a strobe light, and then those concussions would all arrive at the same time. It was like that for 3+ hours. And I hadn't experienced something that heavy and that electrical in the atmosphere before. For me, it was my first time really getting in sort of a plasma soup, but you described the same thing. And everywhere you go around the world now, it's this most incredible, intense electrical electrification or electrified skies. And I do think that it has something to do with our weakening magnetosphere. And as we come out off of this peak of solar cycle 25, Are we there yet? Not sure, but it seems that the activity shows kind of waning activity on that double peak, that it looks like we've arrived at that already, which would be years early. So the reason I bring that up is this is going to continue. This is not a one-off thing. The more electrical events there are, the more strikes there would be in forests, etc.
I suspect that that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my suggestion to your listenership is, I have a whole lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas, wish I woulda done as, but at the beginning of the season, you really, I should have taken other preparations. I don't know if that would have saved many of our structures, but because there, in this situation, there were crowning fires and there was a wall. I mean, our structures could have caught on fire from 200 yards away across the valley. I really should have taken preparations at the beginning of the fire season to get rid of the carbon, even to store our hay away from the building. I didn't do that. So, that is an excellent point, is that we are likely to have more, you have to understand that we actually have 9 times less burn acreage these days than we had in the 1930s. Every decade from the 30s, we've had less burn acreage. And we can expect that probably over the next 9 decades, it will at least incrementally, systematically increase. We can count on more burn acreage.
Yeah, so that was an interesting thing you said about the hay there. Now, would you have cut more brush or cut more trees around the structures? But that's kind of the point, to live in harmony with those trees and have them so close and have that, energy as part of your dwelling.
Yeah. But, what happened, and we'll make the best of it. And we'll move forward in positive directions, and we still have a great sustainable, we're missing some infrastructure, but we're getting water systems already. I got 2 water tanks and some polypipe, and we'll put some things back together and get back up running. And our greater community, it's been awesome. It's been amazing. And I'm humbling myself to accept, our tribe, our people that care about this kind of thing. So, that's all I have to say. If anybody has any questions or comments, they're welcome to contact me.
And I have a question for you. Like, when you said infrastructure, what infrastructure survived the blaze itself? Because you said something was still intact. So what was that? Or what could you have protected more, like covering with earth or something that might have been more able to withstand heat in a blaze like that? So first, what was left? And then what do you think you could have hardened in advance that might have protected it?
Well, one of the things, we've been criticized before because I got literally tons and tons of ceramic tile in the early part of this project. Well, but dumpster diving, we went to tile shops from Craigslist, free stuff. I've literally tons of ceramic tile. And we have 2 buildings that are completely covered in ceramic tile mosaics. And it was an art project. And people are like, you're spending too much time on the tile. The apocalypse is coming. You get better things you can do. Well, all of our tiled structure survived. We have what's called the Sunrise Bathhouse that is completely surrounded in ceramic tile. And it stands today. It had a wood-fired steam room and a composting toilet and a bathroom, and so we have a bathroom and a steam sauna because of our tile work. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for earthen tiled, and there are other things that we built that were like, we have an earthship style greenhouse we call the solarium. It's almost all cinder block, and while I thought the roof was going to be gone, there was enough clearing. Actually, the whole solarium, our greenhouse, it's 200 feet long. We really grow a lot of food in it, and it survived. We have an underground hobbit hole built out of concrete that survived. We have I buried a root cellar, stone wall, 4-hour fire rated door. You know, we've got lots of food storage, and that all survived. So it wasn't all lost, and we still have springs. We live in the rainforest. Our forest will renew this charred land. And, when we hook up our water, we still have gravity fed, awesome, beautiful water, great air. We've got fundamentals to work with.
So let me ask, in terms of equipment, you know, coming back from losing what it seems like most or all of your preps, What do you consider number one most needed thing? And like, if you're going to give me a list of three, like what do you think the top needed things are to help you start that process of rebuilding again? I mean, I'm sure the list could go 100 deep, right? But just, okay, five, just giving an idea for people out there listening, like, oh, we lost. Okay, now what do we really need on a forested property to get things kicking back into gear again?
Well, that's tough because we lost everything. I had a wonderful cider press, and we don't have that anymore. We have tons of apple trees. I hope they all survive. We had so many canning jars. I must have had 500 canning jars to preserve food, and now we don't have any. I don't have a chainsaw anymore. Fermentation crocks. We have two water tanks. And I should say that we didn't have insurance for this. We live off grid and you can't get insurance. So it's not like I'm expecting some windfall. And really, in some ways, I went all in. I was all in on preparing and I put everything into this. So we really are starting from scratch. Water tanks, but not many people are going to ship us water tanks. What else? What else, Julia? Seeds. I had such a wonderful library of seeds. I had so many organic heirlooms. Oh, my whole bin, it was in our community hall, and it is ash. So any seeds or plants, our land is scarred. And while nature will, we have an opportunity to replant it with, all the things we want. There's a lot of huckleberry bushes at our place. They're all gone now. So plants and seeds are a wonderful idea.
Anybody out there that's listening, if you think you can help at all, please contact Dan. I'll leave the website down there, sustainableecovillage.com. And then also you can get in there, contact him, phone number, email, or what it is. Because, there's going to be a lot of lessons learned out of such things, and I just hope I don't have to deal with that myself and having minutes of notice to clear out your house of if you said go, you have 5 minutes and then go, what could you really get in minutes like that? Do you have, and that just comes out of the most basic thing of just having, for everybody out there, a go bag, like literally you have minutes to grab something, like what's in your bag for IDs and this sort of thing, protection, monies, anything like this to help you get to that next step to kind of regroup somewhere. It just puts it in a whole new perspective about minutes. That's it. Everything else is gone when you come back.
And so, don't assume that you have hours. It can literally be minutes, or you might not even, I just talked to a friend of ours, a distant neighbor who also lives in the woods and just barely got out. She didn't have a vehicle. Her husband was, and she just barely got out. So
let me ask you back to the go bag. Like, what is the most important thing in your opinion, since you've lived this already, of things that are super difficult to replace that you would take with you? Obviously, it has to be more lightweight. You're not going to be lugging all your firearms out with you, or, 25, 30 pounds of gold or something like that, or silver. It's going to be difficult to move all that heavy weight. Like, what really do you think are the most essential things? Like your passport, your driver's license, some sort of deeds for the home, something for the car. I don't know, titles for the car. I'm not sure. I mean, what would it have been in your opinion?
Water filter. We lived on in the dunes for about a week. A water filter and a multi-tool Avenger Leatherman. Actually, and you know, in the end, I had an emergency first aid kit in my car that actually came in handy. I don't know. My go bag is always in my car. That includes a water filter, but hey, you know what? It's probably different for everybody, and depending on where you live, it's a good time to reevaluate and think that through and say to yourself, what would I take? What can I? What's convenient and appropriate to always have handy when you if you needed to get out quick.
Yeah, and one last question for you. You talked about mind frame and like looking for the silver lining in this type of event. You know, in our previous, you know, talks as well, you were super focused on mind frame, gratitude, thankfulness, and then just reframing life itself at any way and any time to help you move through one situation to the next that might not be, you know, considered a positive thing in life. So, you know, where do you sit on mind frame and those others around that you saw that were, you know, their homes or their properties in the fire too, like mind frame on this whole thing, event?
Well, you know, I think your listeners, I think I know I'm in touch with your subscribers and the people that are in contact with you. And I think all of them would understand this idea of impermanence, David. That, you know what, you could have all the Bitcoin or gold. And in 1933, the Gold Act, they confiscated all the gold in the country. They can do the same. Do you think you're going to get out of this with Bitcoin or digital cryptocurrencies or Cordal? They control the entire game, whether it's Agenda 2030 and relocating you into cities. In the end, if you really understand what's happening in the world, this totalitarian two-step into, you know, some version of a dystopian future, in the end, there is no security. That's the reality. You can have a sustainable farm and a fire can take it. You can have a sustainable farm and they can do eminent domain and take it. There is nothing that security is an illusion. That's the fact, Jack. And, you know, when you lose everything like this, you realize that it is an illusion. And I've always known that. So what it reinforces with me, David, is that having people you love and having love in your heart and living a good and enjoyable life is where it's at. The game is about being happy. And whether it's the most stuff you can have, consumerism, materialism, or just being as prepared, you know, the ultimate prepper, in the end, it can all be taken away from you one way or another. Whether it's the solar micronova, the diluvian event, or, you know, this Marxist fascist wave that's sweeping the world, or a wildfire. It can be taken away. So, you know, live a good life and have as much love and joy as you can. That's my takeaway.
Perfect. And we'll leave it on that. Such a positive note to end on. And even though it was just a short conversation here, that's a lot to reflect on. Seriously. If you have anything that you're getting ready for, it's almost like you're going to have to re-prepare. For these changes that are coming, or reevaluate for the preparation as we move through. Like, my fire's been lit under me, A, because of the floods that came through here. And we couldn't get out either. I mean, it was flooded every single road. The road behind on the mountain, even the back way to get through, that was a complete lake back there. But it was a low, you know, anywhere you come to the bottom of a mountain is going to be a low area. They don't call it the bottom for nothing. it's always going to be flooded there. And the bridge was out on that little road and out here, the pond overflowed. It couldn't get anywhere. It couldn't go through the neighbor's property. Everything's flooded. You know, so for me, it was a reevaluation also, nothing on the scale that Dan experienced, but, you know, the fire was already kind of lit under me anyway, going, whoa, I was totally unprepared for what had happened there, you know, in terms of if I would have had to exit, like if there would have been a landslide coming down, there's nowhere I could have gone, really.
Yeah.
So that realization right there that you're right, that you are where you are and you've done the best you can to the point, but there's always going to be these unknowns or things that you just never ever accounted for or thought that were on the radar.
Exactly. Preparation, das ist eine gute Idee, and security is an illusion.
Well, at least no people perished in that fire that were around you. That's the most important thing. Things can be rebuilt, but people can't.
Yeah, everybody got evacuated. No human life was lost. I wish I could have said the same for some of our animals, but we'll move forward.
And that's what life's going to be about through these changes as we continue through the next year or two. So anyway, I appreciate your time. Hope you got something out of our conversation that can help you in your real life. Get prepared for some of these changes. They're here. It's real. And it's not going away. It's just going to intensify from here.
That's some nastier food. Hi, I'm Chef Antonio with a quick question. What's in your food? Some of the foods these days have some pretty weird ingredients. Foods also have lots of different contaminants, from heavy metals to fungicides, pesticides, herbicides. Oh man, that's a lot of no good. Then we got the cloned food, edited food, fake food, and unhealthy foods of all kinds. That's not what mama was cooking when you were a little bambino. You want to know what's in your food. I know you do. Heaven's Harvest has Protein Booster Kit, is the bolster of your daily emergency meal plan. Containing only essential proteins, beef, chicken, and eggs, stock up on vital amino acids and nutrients required to thrive in all situations. They got the fruits and vegetable buckets, the breakfast bucket kits, and for a You Health Food Nuts, they got an organics kit. Now that's knowing what's in your food. They even got the heirloom seed kit so you can plant your own food. Heaven's Harvest Heirloom Vegetable Seed Kit is a simple way to start storing seeds safely. Not sure what varieties are hardy, easy growers, which thrive and taste the best. They have taken the guesswork and time out of the process of seed saving. Now you know what's in your food because you grew it. Go to heavensharvest.com. You can save 15% at the checkout with code ADAPT.